We're going to launch into the subject this morning, which is open family is our environment. We are a community where anyone is accepted. Everybody just say anyone. Without judgment and false claims of perfection. So in other words, we're not here to decide who's worthy to be here, who fits. We're here saying what our Father says, come. Come as you are. And we then love you exactly where you're at. So we have no false claims of perfection. In fact, we're not saying we've got it right. You've got to come and be like me. We're saying come and bring all of your idiosyncrasies, all of your strange weirdness, all of your troubles, whatever you carry, just bring it. And what we do here is we help you unpack the bag. We help you get rid of and dump what you no longer need. And we come alongside you that you will refine the case that you carry, that you can travel through this life fully clothed with the goodness and the glory of God. That's what this family is all about. It says, we're a church whose hospitality feels like family to people from every walk of life. Now, I'm going to really now unpack this morning, and this phrase here that says it feels like family. Now, it may depend on what you have experienced family to be. And so we're not really asking you to go from that model. We're asking you to go off what God declares family should be. And so whether your family is amazing or not, he's saying, I'm going to give you the model that you need to operate out of. I'm going to give you the book, the recipe, everything that's required for you to be embraced by the family that he has determined for you to experience. Everybody just say family. Family. Look at the person next to you and just say your family. Yes, your family. Tell somebody else, your family. Yeah, yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, Matthew 11, 28 tells us that anyone is accepted. He says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Isaiah 55, verse 1 and 3 tells us the same thing, that we are to come to him because he gives us rest. James 4, verse 8, 9, come near to God, he will come near to you. John 6, verse 37, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. Our God is the ultimate in what family is all about. Hallelujah. What he also tells us in Titus 2, verse 11 to 12, he says that the grace of God that teaches and instructs us. So in other words, the family we are talking about is a family that is actually immersed in grace. Somebody say grace. And what that means is that you are coming straight away to an environment that says, we're here to empower you through wisdom and favor. That when you step into this family, we are giving you a credit card that says you are now being blessed with the wealth of divine favor. And it's not just a sense of unmerited favor, but it's a favor that empowers you. So in other words, this favor is the empowering grace of God. So it empowers you to be literally a fully fledged, active, engaged member of the family. So while I may operate and teach and instruct you through the power of the Holy Spirit, it is the grace of God that teaches you. It says, for the grace of God, in Titus says, has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness, to deny ourselves, and to live righteously, to live holy in this present world. So you come into a family where everything about it is a teaching moment. It is an empowering moment. So that by immersing yourself in the grace, and for those of you who cook, have you ever marinated something in order that the flavor soaks in? That's what grace does. It sort of soaks into your system. That those very stubborn, cranky attitudes that you have, all of a sudden begin to become invigorated and infused with a different flavor. You're no longer stiff and stuck in your ways. You become pliable. You become somebody that wants to connect. Somebody that not just wants to connect, but is now empowered and capable of connecting. You become somebody that actually says, we're sharing the same ingredients. You know, you smell like me. Wow, you sound like me. Why? Because our language now starts to become the same. It is a language of freedom, a language of salvation. Have you ever noticed that families often have similarities in the way they express themselves? And for those of us who are old enough to have kids, we often find that we sound like our parents. When you come into this family, grace allows you to start sounding like your father. Hallelujah. So nobody has a debenture on the sounding like the Father. We all have that opportunity that we can speak and say what He says. Because we are now joining His family. And so I want to really underpin this message today with what is one of our key pillars in this church, which is called strong family. Say strong family. See, we don't just want to be a family. We want to be a strong family. Where our ties, our bonds, everything we express about family is so strong that it preaches all by itself. That when somebody comes amongst us, they're immediately aware that this is not an ordinary family. It is divine. It is otherworldly. It is often counterintuitive to what families might normally do. Why? Because we're operating off a different experience. We're operating off a different DNA. You see, the Bible begins with the establishment of the family as the only institution through which God would establish His governance and cultivation of the earth. He doesn't start off by saying, I'm going to put a ruler in place. He doesn't start off by saying, I'm going to put a king. He starts off by saying, I'm going to put together a family. And through the family, I'm now going to govern and cultivate all of my creation. This is all encompassed in the two divine directives defining humanity's purpose. Be fruitful and multiply, and take dominion. So when you come into this family, God is calling on you to be fruitful and multiply and to take dominion. And often we just assume He's talking about bringing other humans into the world. But it's actually a statement about everything about who we are. Because everything that God does is prophetic, and it has more ramifications than simply what we think is the immediate context. It actually is all about the whole of His creation. So what does He do? He starts off in Genesis 1, and He prepares a context, a place. Somebody say context. Somebody say place. Every family needs a place. Somewhere where that family is able to abide, a context in which you can operate out of. And we often call that home, that place where you dwell. So what does God do before He puts the family in place? He actually prepares a place. So we know that God has prepared an environment for you. That's why He will say, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, come. He will say, come without money and without price, and you can eat. He basically has already prepared something for you to come to. So that's why when you come to God, he's not asking you to come and bring something. He's basically saying, come as you are and come ready to receive and engage in the context and the environment that I prepared for you. Most of us are walking around trying to basically stage all the environments that we're going to. Don't like this. Want to change this. But you see, what God does is he knows you. And he's that father that you'll walk into the room he's prepared for you and go, oh my gosh, how did you know that was my favorite color? How did you know that actually I like that style of bed? This is exact. You know, you walk in, oh my gosh. If somebody on a TV program can pick up the information about you and create this wonderful place so akin and in tune with what you like, how much more the God who has designed and created you and actually knows more about you than you know yourself can prepare the exact environment for you that you need in order to thrive. So when you came to Home Church, most of us think, read about this church, I'm just going to turn up. But you see, God is not an accidental God. We often think we are making our choices, but he prepares a family for us. And he tells us that the Holy Spirit says no one comes to him unless he draws them. And sometimes we don't understand why we end up where we end up, but it's because God has already designed that context, that place for you. And why I know that this is exactly who he is, because he starts off preparing us a place, and then he says, and when you come to the end of your journey, I've already gone to prepare you another place. God is always thinking about you. You're his family. So he takes his whole time and he prepares a place. And then he goes on to show us here that he says that five times he explains and he says, this is good. He creates man. And he, in fact, right at the end of all of this, after he said, this is good. And for those of you who remember, you know, what is God saying when he says it is good? What is he really saying? Fulfills its purpose. He's saying it is fully functional. We say to somebody, oh, that's really good. That's really good. And we're thinking, oh, it's just nice. God is literally saying it is fully fit for purpose. So when he's saying, you know, it's good, it's like you put that product through the test on the conveyor belt and you checked and made sure that it's now worthy to be released to the public. That car is safe. That product is fully working. When God designed us, he reached to the end of it and he says, it is very good. We are fully fit for purpose. But then he goes on and we see here that he realizes in Genesis 2 verse 18, he says, the Lord God said, it is not good, think about what we've just said, for man to be alone. In other words, it is not fully functional for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now, this is the first negative statement made in the 6 days of creation. First negative statement. He looks at man and says, look here, verse 19. He says, now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And he goes on to tell us about Adam's resume. Verse 20, the man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So what he's telling us here, that God created everything, then calls man who he has created and tells us that man now is like God. So now he says, hey, come here. You come and help me. And so Adam comes up and says, what is it, God or Father? And he says, what's that? You name all of this. And he literally, because he's creating the image of God, in other words, he's a chip off the old block, he names everything. And at no point does God say, I've got that wrong. Because he was of his father. But then God turns around and realizes, but hold on a minute. But there's nobody to help you. Everything else can produce of its kind. But there's nobody to help you. Now, most of us have made the mistake to think that God provided him a servant. And that has been the problem over the years, because people look at this word as a helper. Oh, helper. Come on. You're here to help me. Not understanding that actually the true definition here of what this means is actually explained when we look at what that word means. In Exodus 18 and verse 4, this is what it says. That Moses named one of his sons Eliezer, right? E-L-I-E-Z-E-R, which in Hebrew means, my God is my helper. Now, the Eli part of it means my God. But the Ezer part of it is what actually the word helper is. Now, the true definition of this means, this part of it is, it says, the verse goes on to explain why Moses named his son Eliezer. It was because God had powerfully delivered Moses from Pharaoh's sword. So the Eliezer part of that describes the aspects of God's character, that he is our strength. God is our strength. Our rescuer. Somebody say rescuer. So you got strength, rescuer, protector. Somebody say protector. And our help. And so the Eliezer is the word here God used to describe the first woman. Read these words again. Strength, rescuer. See, guys, you thought we were the heroes. She was rescuing him, right? Now, protector and our help. So this is what he's saying. So here, and the strength. So Eve was someone who would give vital strength to Adam. So they were not one greater than the other. They were partners. They were to support one another. And the woman wasn't supposed to be the weaker vessel. She was there to give him strength, vitality, rescue him. How many times, husbands, have we found that our wives have rescued us from ourselves? Yes, darling. Right? So, but this is the foundation of the family. And I'm telling you now that God did not put one stronger, weaker. God put two people that would bolster each other and support and strengthen each other through what they were now experiencing in life. And that together, they would be fruitful and multiply. Together, they would take dominion. And what's interesting is that he places the seed in one. And then he puts the eggs in another. So without me, what you carry cannot be fertilized. And without you, what I carry has no significance. And if you look through the whole of the beginning of creation, God is just talking about, if you read the symbolic nature of it, he's just talking in terms of seed and harvest. Every tree, he says, would shed its seed and produce after its own kind. And if you look, it goes down. Every time he's created something, he says it would produce after its own kind. He's talking about seed and harvest. And then he arrives at man and he says, you two are going to now be the dominant force in the earth. But I'm going to give one of you seed. And I'm going to give one of you the eggs to be fertilized. And you have to come together. You have to work together to be fruitful. You have to work together to take dominion. So this is what God is saying. The foundation of what we have as a family is about us understanding that I am not complete without you. That I am here to strengthen you, to uphold you, that we are all part of the body of Christ. And then in so doing, we can only be strong when you value me as the seed. And when I value you as the ovary, the egg that will now fertilize and bring forth, and together we can bring something new. In other words, we become co-creators. I want us to understand today that this church is going to be a church of creativity. That nobody's going to sit down and think, oh, you come up with all the ideas. It's all about you. We're saying, everybody come. What is God saying to you today? And this is how we're going to embrace the culture. Each Sunday, in person Sunday, we come in, and even in the home at home, you must walk with a word to give to somebody else when you meet them. So we are going to have a moment in our service when I'm going to be saying, what word do you have to share with that person next to you that God has given you through the week? We're not going to have a culture where you come just to hear a word from whoever is speaking, but you're going to bring a word that God shared this with me this week, and I'm going to speak this into that person's life. So we're not simply just going to say, hello, how are you doing? I'm going to say, hey, how are you doing? I believe God has given me this word to share this week for you. This is what he's saying to me. Be encouraged with this word. And we're going to become a culture of where people are interested in saying what the Father is saying, hearing and listening and speaking life, speaking productivity into this atmosphere. And we all become engaged in walking in the prophetic. Because it's not exclusive. We're a family. We get so upset if we have a family member who can't speak. And we go to all measures to find a way that they can communicate it, whether it's by sign, but we've got to find a way because we all have a voice. We all have something to say, something to declare, something to speak forth. I'm declaring that we're beginning this year where you begin to open up your mouth and you begin to channel what the Father is saying to you, and you bring that to the body, you bring it to the family, and we sit together as a company, as a family together, and we begin to break the bread of the word. And everyone begins to grow. And that's what become exciting. Because God's going to say something to you. I'm thinking, like I heard this morning through Richard and Sharon, a perfect anointing example, that God gave me a word that confirmed to me that the prayer I prayed how many years ago, that God is saying, I'm faithful to fulfill that word. I'm going to finish with this point. God spoke to me, and part of what we're going to be encouraging with our discipleship program is learning how to hear God's voice. And God said to me, he said, look at the significance of the almond tree. Just like that. Now, I know it's God because I wasn't thinking about any almond tree. How many of you have thought about an almond tree in the last year. Exactly. So I'm like, whew. Now, God would ask me that at a time where I can Google it. Otherwise, I'd have to go finding a book, get to the library. So there I am in this time I'm spending with God. I Google the almond tree. Oh, blew my mind. Because what he tells us here is that he's speaking his word to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah has a word to share with the people that he prophesies. Now, the thing about the almond tree, and I'm telling you this about because how our Father works. The almond tree is the first of all the trees to blossom, to bud. But it's actually the last to be harvested. And he was saying to Jeremiah, he says, look, you see how I've given you that word. And I gave it to you maybe a year ago, 10 years ago. And you're waiting saying, God, when are you going to fulfill that word? And he's saying, but I'm watching over my word. He says, just hold on. I know I've given you the right in the beginning. And it feels like forever, but it's going to come. It's going to come. And my word is going to be fulfilled. And some of us may have had words from God that is given to us. And you're saying, oh, was it really God? And you're waiting. Did God really say? And you're waiting. And is it really going to come to pass? But God categorically told me that that word that he gave me how many years ago, that he is going to fulfill it. And this is what he said to Jeremiah. He says, I am watching over my word to fulfill it. What God has said to you, he is going to fulfill it. He doesn't take his word back. And so this year, I want you now to begin to trust and believe that everything God has said about you, he is going to bring to pass. How many of you are waiting for certain words to be fulfilled? God is declaring to you, don't give up. He didn't say just that he's going to fulfill. He says he's watching over his word to fulfill it. Be encouraged. Because that's what our Father does. Because sometimes as parents, we might make you a promise and break it. But I'm declaring today that the God you serve is faithful. And everything he said about you and the things you don't even know, he is going to bring them to pass. Hallelujah. I want you to stand on your feet right now. We have more around this word, but we're going to conclude and finish this off today. You are part of a family. A family that what we say, we mean. A family that focuses on what our Father says about us. And I want you to be encouraged today because you've heard things about yourself that your Father did not say about you. And the enemy will say things to you that your Father did not say about you. Listen to what your Father has said and know that he's going to fulfill his word. We want this to be a strong church. We're going to be able to unpack who our God is. And one of the things that makes us strong families we'll be going through will be to be highly functional, love and serve each other, to be good communicators, to listen, balanced lifestyles, caring, well supported by extended links, pulling together, fostering stable and predictable environments. And we're really going to unpack all of this because the one thing our church and home church will be is our families will be strong. And through it, our church will be strong.